Good morning, family.
Good morning.
It's definitely good to be back. Many of you know that we were out of town last week, and we just had a ball in Las Vegas. City of Vegas. But that's the city where my babies are. That's what I call it. I hadn't had a chance to talk to Chris before service, but I got a project for you. Shortcake said, "Pop, pop, look in the backyard. Look at my house." She says, "I need a remodel." She said, "Ain't got no lights in it. I need a room for you and Gigi. I need a room for TT. And I need a bathroom. And plus, I need a doorbell." So I told her I had somebody to fix it since her daddy wouldn't do it. We're going to remodel her playhouse. But we had a good job. That girl is something else. She said she needed some monies. And all she needed was some money, some wood, and a tool. So she's on her way to a start. So me and Chris got a job to do. I think I'm going to take him to Vegas with me next time we go. If you're visiting with us, please know you're honored guests. And we're just so glad you decided to be here this morning when we attempt to do Bible things in Bible ways. Definitely good to be back. God blessed us to be able to make it out there safely on our trip and destination and spend time with a wonderful family. We definitely missed everyone here this morning. All right. Without further ado, you know I'm not big for introductions. Subject title this morning, Away from the Manger. Now, you may say, well, I thought it was away in a manger. You know, Psalm 665 in our book tells us, gives us the hymn, Away in a Manger. But I'm going to take a different spin from it this morning. Because what I fear is going on, and I don't fear it, I kind of know it just by evidence, is we tend to leave Jesus right there in the manger. Now, what I mean by that, I mean the fact that, you know, I'm reminded of, before I get into my lesson, what Regina said when she was a teacher. And students would not do what they were supposed to do in the year. So about grade time, they come up and ask for extra credit. She said, "I don't give extra credit because you didn't do the work in the first place. What sense that make of me to give extra credit and you didn't do the work first work I assigned?" When we think about things like this, we think about what holiday season we're in. I dare say that many folks believe that just celebrating Christ, the life, death, resurrection of Christ one day is going to be enough. I think people just love babies in mangers, but I want you to think about that baby grew up. He grew up to die for the sins of all mankind. He grew up so that we would have to do something with the Lord Jesus. So as many folks at this point in time are reflecting at this period, and we're going to give you a little bit of history of Christmas. You know I always do that, so I want to free you with it, but I want you to think about what time of year it is and what the world has set aside. But my encouragement today is please don't leave him in the manger. Please don't leave him in the manger. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 23. Very familiar scripture. It entails the birth of Christ. We're going to begin at verse number 23 down through verse number 25. Matthew chapter 1, 23 through 25, and it reads as such. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." The world has said that this is the time when we have set aside to at least think about the fact that Christ was born. We sing songs like Joy to the World. Yeah. Now my question is it not joy to the world in June? Yeah. Is it not joy to the world in July? Because you sing songs like that in certain places, they think you got two heads because it's not Christian. Yeah. Some people say, well, this is the season of giving, but my Bible says we ought to live a life of giving. See, what happens is we leave him in the manger. The virgin birth of Jesus is central, as a central truth to Christianity. It's second only to the resurrection. I notice it's that second. Because when you think about it, Christ was saying, he came here to die for all. The reason why he was born was to die for the sins of all mankind. If you leave him in the crib or the manger, so to speak, then you'll forget that he came to die for our sins. You'll never take sin seriously. You'll never understand that the fact that what happened over 2,000 years ago meant that you and I have a chance to live eternally with God. See, it's more than just a holiday where you get gifts. You know, we're going to talk about it in a moment. glorious truth that God had left heaven to come to earth. You ever think about that? I taught a lesson, matter of fact, at the nursing homes I went to a couple of weeks ago, when it's talking about why Bethlehem? Why did God choose Bethlehem? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about why he chose Bethlehem? First of all, the city of David. But second of all, in Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it was prophesied that something special of a virgin birth will come out of Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem, in many terms, in modern terms, a little hick town, maybe one stoplight town. Why in the world our Lord and Savior come from Bethlehem, be born in Bethlehem? Well, first of all, they went there for the census, but when you do a detailed study of it, they didn't always take census at. Sometimes they didn't consider Bethlehem big enough to even take a census at. Now, you would think that our Lord and Savior would be born somewhere like Rome, the capital, with silver and spoons and silver and gold all around him, but that's not how he came into this world. Because he came for lowly folks just like you and I. The manger scene that you see in the nativity scene, that's not what it was in Scripture. It was not nice little trough, as some people say, or a bassinet. He was born basically with animals. Because the manger then basically was where the animals stood. The residents slept on top. But they brought the animals in at night, especially in the winter and fall time. They slept right underneath the house. Now you mean to tell me that the Son of God was born amongst cattle and sheep? The answer is yes, but why? He did it so he could reach the lowest people like you and I. But think about it. What's going on today? God came to live as a man. Can you believe it? Sometimes it's hard for me to fathom that God left the right hand of God. He's back there now, of course, waiting to return, to put on flesh. Now, why didn't he come a full-grown man? Because he could have. He came through the way that man came so that he could be touched in all points that man was. Let's look at a little bit of the history of Christmas. Contrary to popular opinion, there's no record in Scripture of the celebration of the birth of Christ. That came along in about 350 A.D. The church was already in existence for over 200 years. The first historical record was A.D. 354 by the Bishop of Rome. Now, how did we get today's December the 21st, 25th? When you think about this, there was already a holiday that was celebrated for thousands of years, and it was called the worship of Saturnalia. This was already in existence when Christ came into the world. There was 12 days of Christmas that we often celebrate, but they were really before Christ and the church decided to change the meaning of it. They were really 12 days of sin or chaos. December the 25th was originally celebrated the S-U-N, not the S-O-N. Why was December 25th of significance? Because that was many folks' term was what they called the winter solstice, which was the shortest day of the year, which means that after the shortest day, that would be the birth of a new sun. So when Christ was born in Bethlehem, they were already worshiping during this time of year, worshiping the S-U-N, but Christians later on said that we can't beat them, we'll join them, so we'll change the meaning of it and at least worship the birth of Christ. Do your history on it. It'll tell you that. So what are you saying, Brother Curtis? Well, I'm saying that whatever way you decide to do it is fine. Romans 14, verses 3 through 5 says, to one person who esteems one day or the other, you don't judge them.
That's right.
It's up to you, however you want to celebrate them. But this is the truth. It had nothing to do with Jesus Christ being born originally.
Right.
Matter of fact, when you look at the time in Luke chapter 2, it was highly unlikely he was born December 25th. Because the sheep were still in the field at that point in time, which meant that the first rain hadn't come. The first rain usually happened about the first or second week of October. So that was probably a more accurate time when Christ actually came into this world. I just want to give you a little bit of history of it. Now, whatever you do with it is fine. If you want to celebrate, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. That's a personal choice. But this is the truth about it. But the bigger problem is, what are you going to do with it? Think about things like what we really hold near and dear. Where did Christmas tree and wreaths come from? Mistletoes, even gifts under the tree. Do you realize that in Jeremiah chapter 10, there was already Christmas trees before Christ even came? There was a tree set up, an evergreen tree, and on it was gold and silver, and under it was presents put because they were worshiping Tammuz at that point in time, who was the son of Ishtar Ashdod. But Christians said, we're going to change it and give it a new meaning. But there's nothing wrong with it as individuals. But the sad part about it is, as many folks don't even take this time to even remember and honor the birth of Christ. Many folks look more like the honoring Satan than Jesus. They say it's Christmas. They say it's the birth of him. But my question is, if Christ came back today physically, and he's coming back one day, could he tell you honor him by what we do on Christmas Day? I always like to say this, you know, and we say it's the birth of Christ. Oftentimes, he's the only one don't get no gifts. We leave everybody out. Everybody in the family get gifts. But what do you give Christ? Now, he's not concerned about our earthly gifts. I'm going to talk about that later. But if it's truly, and you're setting it aside the birth of Christ, what have you given him? What have you given him? He don't need our gold and silver, but he needs something from us. He wants something from us. He died so that we could show how much we loved him. But the bigger problem is many people leave Jesus in the manger. Why? He's so easy to love a baby. I don't know about you, but I just loved up on my grandkids, boy. They could do no wrong. Grandparents know this. Them babies can't do no wrong in your eyes. You know that. Now, we saw Ma get in a little trouble. We pulled up. She had gotten in trouble in school. We got out Bible study over there with them, and we get out, and Dom is doing her motherly duties. I didn't tell nobody out this, but I almost wanted to cry to one eye. I said, why are they doing my baby like that? She don't need no spanking. But I got them. I got what? And I need them. She need them too. But it's kind of hard when you see those things. It's so easy. You love the innocence. It's so easy to accept and love them unconditionally. But what about the fact that Jesus Christ grew up to be the Savior of all mankind? Don't leave him in the manger, folks. He didn't stay in the manger. He grew up to die and be treated worse than any person that ever lived. You may decide to recognize the birth of it, but I'm encouraging you this morning, please don't leave him there. Please don't leave him there. So the bigger problem, problem number one, as a baby, Jesus was considered helpless like most babies are. But as a man, he has all power in his hands. We are totally dependent on the man, Jesus, for everything. Babies are totally dependent on us for everything. They can't feed themselves. They can't walk. They need us for transportation. They need us to provide shelter. But think about this. That's exactly what Christ promises to provide for us. He promises to be a shelter in a time of storm. He promises to make sure all our needs are met. He promises to give us living bread and living water, so much so that man will never thirst again. He promises to meet our physical and spiritual needs. But his power demands submission and obedience. It's so easy to set aside one day. That's easy. You light it up your house. You light up the street. You put everything out there. And that's okay. That's what you decide to do. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. But what about December 26th? Now, you know most of them stuff going up by New Year's, right? But I fear, spiritually speaking, we do the same thing with Jesus too. He go right back in the attic. He go right back to next year till the day after Thanksgiving, or sometime the day before Thanksgiving, and then we show the world at least that we think about Christ. At some point, we got to move away from the manger. Some point, we got to move away from the manger. That's point number one. Point number two, as a baby, Jesus was loved. As a man, he was hated. While it is true that Herod hated Jesus when he was born in Matthew chapter 2, most people love babies. But read John 15, 18 through 20. Jesus at that point in time was going to die for the sins of all mankind. Jesus at that point in time when they were taking him to Calvary. See, that's why you have to understand and accept the birth of Christ and understand the whole story of Christ. The problem is the world just leaves him in the manger. The problem is the world says, I don't have to sacrifice or do anything for a baby before a man who demands that I obey him in order to receive eternal life. That's a different story. Jesus was light from birth, and he exposed darkness from the beginning through his whole life. See, darkness don't like light. This is the same Jesus that many folks are deciding to recognize his birth at this time of year, but don't leave him in the manger. We do him a disservice when we leave him in the manger. Now, he's at the right hand of God. Born, lived, died, rose again, some 33 years on this earth, What are you going to do with him now? Because you're going to have to do something with him. You can't just leave him in the manger and just look at him as a cute baby. You can't leave him under your Christmas tree. You can't leave him right there at the nativity scene. He demands more than that. And I dare say if you leave him there, then probably your eternal salvation is in jeopardy. He came into this world to die for our sins. That's what the world doesn't want to accept. Point number three. I'm going to be long this morning. As a baby, Jesus made demands on his family. As a man, he makes demands on everybody. Every parent knows how this feels. If you have a child, you know, they're involved in different things. If they're young in age, you got to get up and make sure they're fed every day. You got to make sure they're taken care of. You go out here and work your tails off to make sure they got a roof over their head. You try to provide everything you can and most of the things they want. And what about now? But as children go, they become more dependent, independent. Now Jesus calls on all men to repent and change their lives. See, this is what the world doesn't say, because if I leave him in the manger, I don't have to look at him calling my sin and what I'm doing a sin. I hope he closes my eyes, because I'm going to get buck wild on Christmas night. I hope he closes his eyes. I hope he does that. Because I don't want him to see what I'm going to be doing in the name of Christmas now. See, we got to be careful how we throw it around. And the world is looking at us who claim to be Christians. They look at us and say, well, if this is supposed to be sacred to you, why are you doing the same thing I'm doing? I know my situation, but you say it's the birth of your Lord and Savior. How you going to tell me that you honor him when you're drunker than I am? How you going to tell me you honor him when you got the wildest party going on at your place? That's what's happening now. How are we going to, if we don't think that God sees this, we think he closed his eyes to that, can't leave him in the manger. He calls every man to repent. Luke 13:3, repent or likewise perish. It's the same Jesus who was born into the world over 2,000 years ago. Point number four. Jesus was born to die so that we could be born again to live. The doctrine of Christ is full of paradoxes. It makes no more sense when Christ says in Matthew 25, to lose your life, you'll save it. And to save your life, you'll lose it. That doesn't make sense to the world. Because the world says, I got to look out for number one, me, myself, and I, right? I'm the most important world and the person in the world. The Bible says, no, Christ is. And they can't be both. Newsflash, it can't be both. Either you're the Lord of your life or Jesus is. He doesn't sit on split thrones. He doesn't take divided leadership. It's all or nothing with it. Don't leave him in the manger. It was God's plan from the beginning of creation to him to send Jesus to die, to live and die in this earth. Revelation 13:8, Luke 24:44-47, and also another passage that comes to me in a minute. Today, those who die to sin can live again in Jesus. Now, what do I mean by that is, some people say, well, you know what? I'm not ready to die to sin, but yet and still, Christ is my Savior and Lord. How is that possible? Yeah. He came to die for the sins of the world. He came to die for my sins. Like I said, it's so easy to look back at an innocent child. But at the same time, to really understand who he is, you got to be able to look forward to the cross. And the fact that he hung and died for my sins. Not those 2,000 years ago. My sins. The way I messed up. Where I mess up every day. He died. Yes, he lived. And yes, it's great that he lived. But if you notice in Scripture, they never placed an emphasis on his birth. They did on his death. Matter of fact, the only thing that Christ tells us to do, remember him, was remember his death, burial, and resurrection when he says, this do in remembrance of me. That's what he says now. Now, if Jesus want us to do everything that man says, then he would have already said it. We'd have scriptural evidence for it. But you can't really recognize the birth and not really understand the death. That's why he came. He didn't come necessarily to receive gifts of frankincense and myrrh. He didn't come so the eastern star would set over him and point to where the shepherds were so they could find the birth of the Savior. That's not why he just came. He didn't come to be honored by men at that point in time in his life. He came to die for the sins of the world. That's why we can't leave him in the manger. Let us not be guilty of doing what the world does, because they leave him there. And many folks, if we're not careful, we'll make the same mistake of putting him right back up and going back to our normal lives, like it never affected us that he was born into the world. We live our lives that way. But as I like to say, and I think sometimes we just don't want to think about it, Jesus sees and knows everything. We can't fool him. You can't fool him. And the only thing that matters is when we get to heaven is not how many gifts you got, not how many gifts you gave. What did you do in my name? If that ledger's blank, we in trouble, family. We in trouble. And I dare say, as I said before, don't try to get into heaven on extra credit when you hadn't done the work to receive it in the first place. There are many folks today banking and their hopes on the fact that they celebrate Christ two times a year. Maybe three, maybe seasons of it. And it's okay, but, you know, if that's what you think is going to get you into heaven, it's more than that, family. I wish I could tell you different, but I'd be telling you a lie. Christ came and died, lived and died, so that we could lay down our lives for him. Doesn't make sense to the world, but it should to us. Season of giving, I always like to say this, and I don't mean to be funny, but there's still hungry people in March. There's still naked people in February. This time of year, they opening up doors, right? They breaking down walls, almost like you're running from stuff people giving you. What happens after next Monday? What's going to happen with you and I after next Monday? Go back to your lives? I don't know about you, but I'm being honest. I don't remember so much of what I had. I do remember who I had with me, though. What am I saying about that is? Don't lose sight of the fact that people are important to us. As we take time to at least reflect on the birth of Christ, I can't tell you how many toys I got when I was younger, but I can tell you those folks who were there making it special for me. There are parents today who are worried that they just can't do everything for their child. Give them love. Give them warmth. Give them a place to stay. I understand that. I understand society and pulling on you. I ain't even going to mention that folk, that person who came along, you know, big red. So I'm not even going to mention him. But I want you to think about when we say the word Christmas and we're Christians and we're celebrating Christmas, what does it really mean? Do we fall into what the world says? Are we really, really deciding to honor the fact that he was born into this world? Are we really willing to say, Christ, because you came in the flesh and died for me, I'm willing to live a life that's sacrificed and obedient to your will? See, we can't leave him in the manger and do him justice. In conclusion, yes, be glad that Christ was born into this world, but you also got to do something with Jesus who died on the cross. He didn't stay in the manger, and we can't leave him in the manger. He grew up to fulfill God's mission to die for our sins. He grew to demand obedience and repentance. But most folks stop at the manger because we're going to talk about why we leave him in the manger. Here's the reason why people leave or move away from the manger. I never move away from the manger. I leave him in the manger. It means I must give up sin and change my life. You don't have to give up sin and sacrifice nothing for a baby, do you? But for a man on the cross, we do. It means that I must die to self and follow him. I dare say, this is probably one of the most selfish times in our world today. Because there's going to be some people who get mad when they didn't get everything they asked for. And God has given us everything we need. Gifts are okay, and I'm not saying that's great to exchange. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going to sit back pouting your lip because somebody regifted you something to you, then you got the wrong attitude. You know, we don't like regifting. Huh? We think that's just somebody just so cheap. But maybe that's the best they could do. And if not, be considered and be glad that God gave you the gift of life to live one more day. We have the gift of a roof over our head. We have the gift of food to eat. We got the gift of a clothes on our back. Young folks, don't get mad when you didn't get everything you asked for when you got lights in your house. You got food to eat. You got parents who are there every day making sure they love you enough to discipline you. That's a blessing that many folks don't have. Get outside yourself a little bit. We in America, don't even get me started on that. We are some pitiful folks indeed. Anybody, my uncle and aunt here, they've lived in other countries. We don't realize how good we got it in many respects. We don't realize the fact that most of the world still lives on $2 a day. You send a kid to the store with $2 a day, they throw it back at you. We don't realize the fact that we throw away more food than we ought to. And people are starving. And we say we're not good. We don't understand that the freedoms in this country people are still dying for. And we act like they're nothing. See, we done lost focus. We live in a blessed place, a blessed country, and we serve the blessed God. Let us not narrow that down to a 15, 20-day period, a 12-day period, or whatever it is. Don't narrow it down to that. Because then we're guilty of what the world does. It means that I must not live worldly. It also means because he lived and died that I'm going to be persecuted, and that's okay. We don't like to be persecuted anymore, do we? Nobody talk about us, talk bad about us. We stand up for what the Bible teaches, and then somebody says something, unfriends us, unfollow us, and there we go. Well, I don't want to make nobody mad, but Jesus says, if you follow me, you're going to suffer persecution. It's going to happen. Just go and get it out of the way. It's almost like training in sports. You know when the season starts, you're going to run ragged because somebody's trying to get you in shape. If that's all you focus on, you'll never focus on the fact that that's something else down the road. That's something else that this coach is preparing you for. Persecution also makes us worthy of our reward, too. Don't leave him in the manger. But it also will mean that if I lose my soul, it will also mean that I will lose my soul if I just leave him in the manger. Don't leave him in the manger. Conclusion? Many at least are taking time to at least think about our Lord and Savior. But he often gets lost in the parties, gifts, and etc. What about us today? I want to challenge us today. Don't leave him in the manger. As we go through and enjoy the times with our families and enjoy the other traditions, there's nothing wrong with them per se, but don't let Christ get lost in it. Because I fear he does. We say that it's the birth of Christ. How can he tell? Not the world. Not because we got the block lit up. How can he tell that you're glad he came into the world? Not because you emptied your pockets and gave everything you had, but how can he tell by your changed life that you're glad that he brought joy to the world? How can he tell? The real way to celebrate the birth of Jesus is to live a life of sacrifice and obedience. To honor his birth, life, death, and resurrection. And as I said before, we of all people who claim to love him, who claim to be his followers, should never leave him just in the manger. 665 in our book says, away in the manger. So distant, doesn't it? And I want you to take yourself back, if you can, as I close, to the fact that he came into this world with nothing. Born with animals. Didn't do anything wrong. Herod made a decree to kill every child under 2 years old to get rid of this man who's been given the term Messiah. Can you imagine being one of Jesus' neighbors and you lost your child? Because he was born. He Can you imagine the heartbreak that went on through Jerusalem because he was born? Let's speed up a little bit. Can you imagine the heartbreak that'll be felt when Christ says, I never knew you? Losing a child is rough. But losing your soul, that's everything. As we reflect on this time of year, do whatever you decide to do, but please don't leave him in the manger. He's done too much for us for that. Please don't leave him under your tree. Please don't leave him in the gift exchange. You can do it, but don't leave him there. Whatever we do, do all with the authority of Christ. Colossians 3:17 says that. When you do it for Jesus. Don't do it so you can get something back. You know, sometimes, you know what, I gave that person this and they ain't give me nothing back. Well, why'd you do it in the first place? Well, you know what, they don't never get, why'd you do it in the first place? We do stuff like that. And I don't think we understand what we're doing. Didn't mean to really upset anybody, but I wanted to challenge you a little bit that as we go through this season, don't leave him in the manger. He's done too much for us. He's too good to us for that. If you didn't get everything on your Christmas list, don't think God has done you wrong. Because you got life, you got breath, and more importantly, you got an eternal home if you die in the Lord. I don't want what this world has. I'm telling you. I tell folks all the time. Some people say, well, you know what? This heaven on earth. If this is heaven on earth, then I don't want it. I'm telling you. I want to be where he is. I want to be around the throne where there's no more tears, no more dying, no more crying. I want my robe and a crown. What about you? What about us today? Amen. He's given us what we must do. What must we do to be saved? Well, he's made it as clear as possible. We hear God's word. Romans 10:17 says, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Then repent of our sins. Repent. We know we messed up. We ain't fooling nobody but us. I don't want God to know. What? God, turn your eyes with this one. No. He sees and knows everything. Even the intents of our thoughts. His word is sharper than a two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12 tells us, right? He knows it. Then repent. You and I know we messed up. Who are we fooling? Confessing. Not just that he was born, but that he lived, died, was resurrected, but don't leave this last part. Because of all these things, he's coming again. As a thief in the night. As Grady says, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. That's the day I'm looking forward to. I don't know about you. Then we're baptized in water gave baptism. Why? Because he said it. Mark 16:6, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We balk at that, but we do everything else to get extra credit. Some people tell you all kind of stuff to get extra credit, to make it look crazy. You know what? I was walking out of this building, I started to fly. My feet didn't touch. What? What they got to do with you going to heaven? What they got to do to obeying God's word? To just do what he asks. If we would do that, that's more than enough for us. We can just do this right here. That's enough to keep working until Jesus comes back. We ain't got to add nothing special to it. We don't need no extra credit. Just do and pass the test he gave us. Right here. That's enough. And then live faithfully unto death. And then you'll really be able to understand and comprehend what it meant for him to come into this world. Because that's the only way we would have had a chance to have that perfect sacrifice to die for our sins. So you have one desire to place, put on Christ or to request special prayer. We ask you to please come forward and sing a couple verses of 589.